Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You remain seated for a moment. This week, I tell you, Sean went off the charts. He'd made this thing, Dwelling in the Secret Place. This is the best one he's ever done. So, at least out of courtesy to him, take it home. But no, he did a great job. But we'll probably use this one for a couple of weeks because I don't think I'm going to make it all the way through my sermon today. Not because I couldn't, but I think there's some things we'll probably dwell upon. So be sure to take that home with you. It's free. It doesn't cost anything else. Take a couple of them if you want to share it with a friend. Now you can stand to your feet. We're going to go into the scripture and tell you what it's all about. We're going to Psalm 91, and we're going to read through the whole psalm. It's not a long one, and so you'll get the responding verses, and I think that we're going to learn a lot from the Lord today. It begins this way. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16 together. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Father Jesus, amen. Lord, this is such a beautiful, beautiful scripture. The Lord, we're gonna rehearse it for a while today, maybe even next week. And even talking about the goodness of dwelling in this secret place. And I pray, God, that we'll even discover this on our own, the very fact there's a place that remains for those who believe and trust in you. And Lord, today, there's some impacting upon us that will change us from the person we are to the person you desire for us to be. Lord, teach us how to dwell with you. Teach us how to live with you. Teach us how to find that place where we can always fellowship with you. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, before you are seated, I want you to find someone, look them directly in their eyes. Do that. Do it right now. And this, all you're going to tell them is, I know where to hide. You can be seated. That seems a little funny, but in some ways, I hope that just the idea of symbolism of that would make a great difference in your life. Little backdrop to the Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is the second most popular psalm there is for being memorized out of the Bible. Interestingly enough, it's kind of mysterious. I remember it was in 1962. I was in Seattle, Washington, and I was at a convention there. And every single night, it was Bishop, I believe it was E.J. Dennison, would have us repeat Psalm 91. And I'm thinking, what? Because, you know, I was 16 back then. You know, don't do the math. I'll do it for you. I'm 73, okay? Good. Because he's, oh, it's not how he was. 73. Okay, we're good. But anyway, the idea behind it was, and throughout the years, it was kind of the fallback. And then I didn't really recognize this until I was just kind of, you know, studying this other type of thing, that this is the second most memorized scripture out of the Bible. I didn't pick it for that reason. I picked it because I believe that this is a time in our life that we need to know there's a safe place for us to go to. There's a secret place we don't have to share with anybody. I want to define those words for you in the idea of what God does in our lives. But it goes like this. It's no wonder that's the case. The context and the content of the scripture offers the reader a place of safety and security to abide in the presence of God. And I know that sometimes it's hard to find that place, but then again, it may surprise you that Moses was the author of Psalm 91, not David. And I'll prove that, not only prove it to you, but you'll understand it a little bit better after we look at some of the context of the things that are being said. Yeah, could David have written it? Sure, he could have. But you know, there's something about it, of Moses' life, that we'll discover that he found himself that, you know, you have to have a place that you can go beyond the noise, beyond the stuff, where God and you can communicate. It goes a little bit further. You know, it's like, After we talked about going through the storm and Paul's shipwreck and that type of thing, after we've gone through the natural situation like that, to restore your connection with Jesus, you need a place from one of the hymns that we know, safe and secure from all alarm. You know where that comes from? Leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on the everlasting arm. Security is what God offers us. Let me give you three things that we're going to talk about today. Number one, or ask you a question. Have you discovered a secret place to meet with Jesus? And some of you say, well, that's kind of ridiculous, because how can you find a secret place to meet with Jesus with all the stuff that's going on? I'm just hoping to survive all the things that are going on between my job, between my kids, between all the demands on my life. But you know what? It's not necessarily a location. You know, I hate to say it, but some of us, the only place that we find is to hide out at home is the comfort station, known as the bathroom. We know usually people will not mess with us in there. And then again, maybe not, are you in there? Whatever. But here's a place. There's a place for us. Number two, let's look at it this way. Do you know that there's a safe house available to all those who put their trust in Jesus? We're going to talk about that word trust, because trust is an interesting word. In our society, we find it hard to trust people. We find it hard to trust government. We find it hard to trust all kinds of different things. But this is the whole key to this issue, is for us to discover a place that it's not under arrest, or it's under the scrutiny of our evaluation, that we can learn how to trust. And lastly, this. Do you know that the Lord has a secret place for you where the enemy has no access? Amen. It's more than a safe zone. It's a place where it's more than danger, no admittance, that type of thing. No admittance. He can't even begin to get there. It's a place that Jesus won't share with anybody. It's an intimate place where you'll be secure. Well, let's start this off by looking at a couple of things. Back to verse 2. Sheltered by the shepherd. Psalm 91, verse 2, read that again. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I don't know what your particular estimation is or what your prerequisite for trust is, but I think, and not being arrogant or pompous about it, but trust for me is a big deal. In order for it to gain my trust or me to be trustworthy, I think there's some scrutiny that people have to be willing to undergo. And him we're talking about, he that dwells in the secret place, you know, I will say to the Lord, in him I will trust. That's a big deal. And so looking at that from that standpoint, I think there's a couple of things we need to examine. That Moses was prepared for leadership by caring for sheep. Isn't that interesting? Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 and we'll we'll find out what that's all about. After 2, verse 17, then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today? See, and go on to verse 20, verse 19. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. So he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Can I give you a little backstory to this? If you know the story of Moses and the very fact that he was he was rescued out of the bulrushes, and he was supposed to be assassinated. Matter of fact, every male child under a certain age was supposed to be assassinated because somehow they knew there was going to be some person that was going to deliver Israel out of their problems. And so his mother made this deal. She put him in the bulrushes and put him in a basket and left him afloat in the ocean. Or excuse me, not the ocean, but in the river. And the daughter of Pharaoh picked him out of the bulrushes and made him her own son. And he grew up as a privileged young man. But as the story goes on, he finds out that the Egyptian culture is not his culture. And the way he ends up actually taking care of sheep is he decides at one particular point that he's going to react toward the circumstances he was in, and he realizes that his people are being mistreated, and so he goes off, and the Egyptians were mistreating one of his people, and so what does he do? He commits murder. And he's really on the run. And the place he ends up in taking care of sheep for 40 years. Sounds familiar. And in that 40 years, there's something that happened to Moses that made him able to write this particular psalm that we're going to take a look at. It tells a lot about shepherding and the whole idea of realizing being protected when you don't have any real line of defense. Well, Moses served his father-in-law, Jethro, for many years before he was called to the children of Israel. And this is reflected in this particular psalm. And he knew about sheep and what was needed to protect them. Shelter. You're taking care of the vulnerable. And I don't know if there's times in your life where you feel vulnerable. I think as men, generally, we don't want to admit that. But there's some places where we just really can't find the shelter that we need. The only person we can trust is Jesus. The only one who will take care of us, that we know this for sure, is him. Well, he developed a heart that was willing to protect the lives and the interests of others. And you're thinking, Moses? I mean, this guy is kind of an aggressive person, and he's got all the wisdom of the house of Pharaoh and this type of thing. But 40 years dealing with sheep, he kind of got the idea of how you take care of people who can't take care of themselves. And you realize they need a safe place. They need someone to care about them. And I hope that if nothing else you get out of this message today is you'll get the heart of someone who realizes people need to feel safe. They need to feel secure. And the only security we can offer them is the security we find in Jesus. Well, abiding in the presence of God is a lesson of learning how to trust. And as a shepherd, you are constantly on the watch to protect the sheep. We have some wonderful pastors in this house, myself being one of them, Pastor Paul and Pastor Chuck. But I give no accolades to us. We're still in the process of learning, because on our best day, we don't even begin to really mirror what Jesus is doing in our lives. But at least we get a hint or a clue from this, says that he dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I can just stay in the shadow of God's presence, I think I might learn something. It's a shadow. At least I can feel the presence of God and know there's some changes I can make to become more like him. So what does that mean? It means a couple other things. That to discover places where sheep are secure and to find a secret place away from the threats of the enemy. I don't like to get into political things, and I won't, I promise. Well, almost promise. It looks kind of sketchy in some of the things, and I'm not going to go from one party to the next. But if we're putting our trust and our confidence in politics, it's a pretty tough look right now. Whether you're on the right hand or the left hand or I don't know which society you want to call it, it doesn't look that great. The only person we've got to believe and trust in is the Lord is going to work it out. Because if we're looking to the hand of man, it don't look that good. Amen. It really doesn't. So here's the deal. The secret place is one that will get you, give you the confidence and the security that you are in safety of the Lord's care. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 6 and 11. This is talking a little bit about Moses, how he gets launched into his career. And he says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want to talk to you, first of all, your greatest fears of when God gives you an assignment you feel like you can't live up to. Ever feel like that? Amen. The rest of you need to reevaluate. Unless you, I've always felt so secure. Everything I've got, it's walk right into it. You are delusional. You need more help than I can offer this morning. But anyway, he says, and going on the next part, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? That's a big question. And it's not the fact that there was 40 years ago, if you'd asked him this question, Moses would have signed up, I am here and I am Moses, and believe me, I will tell him, let my people go. But 40 years dealing with sheep, he says, not me, no. Here am I, send Fred, Josephine, Eloise, whoever wants to go. I ain't going. Because after you've dealt with life, and I'll tell you what, after you've dealt with sheep and sheep are dumb, and you pull them out of enough patches and they stray away and this type of thing, he says, no. That's really not my calling. So he responded to a call from the Lord, and his 40 years dealing with sheep of hiding caused him to lose self-confidence. I'm not here to try to promote you to move into self-confident posture. But I'm here to bring you to a place that when God calls you to do something, he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. Do not try to deflect. Do not try to run away from. Do not try to give excuses to God when he's calling you and giving you an assignment. And so, I think the verse 11 says, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God, he did not make a mistake when he called you. So that being the case, to find the secret place, we must trust where the Lord is leading us in his calling and directions over our life. Trust will always be tried. What? Consider Job. Job was minding his own business. And somewhere in the back scene, didn't know what was going on. The devil comes along and says, I know why Job trusts you. But if you remove the hedge of protection that you put around him, he'll curse you to your face. He'll never, he won't follow you. The only reason why he trusts you is because everything's going well. Let me just bring that into the situation for us today. I don't believe that many of us want to believe the frailty of our trust in God. But if there are certain things that are removed from our life, we fall apart. You know what the first thing that will cause us to fall apart? You probably have one in your pocket, your cell phone. Oh, my goodness. Lose your cell phone, it's like you've lost. People panic. They literally just lose their mind. And then they found out they left it at the last place where they were, and the place just closed. Oh, my goodness. Going 8 hours overnight without their cell phone, it's like they've been totally disconnected. Why do I say that? I've done it before. It's like a part of you isn't with you anymore, and it doesn't even care. It's taking messages but giving no answers. It's like standing in your stead, it really doesn't care. back to Job. And so, without any notice to Job, God cuts the deal. And you don't may not like this. Read Job and you'll find out this is exactly what happens. He says, do whatever you want, but don't touch his life. Talk about a blank check. And you know what the devil does? He does whatever he wants. Cattle are dying. Kids are killed by a windstorm. I think the worst thing was his wife. Job, curse God and die with dignity. And so everything falls apart. But you know, the confession of Job was pretty amazing. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How do we do that? Well, let's spend a few moments with this, and we'll kind of discover how that happens. So the issue is this. We must not allow a situation to move our foundation from resting upon the word that the Lord has given us. And you know, every person in this room has been given a word from God. He said, what? Yeah, you have. He who believes in me, the Bible says this, shall never be disappointed. If you're living in disappointment today, check your belief system. What? What do you believe about God? If your belief system is vested upon the fact that God will give me all I want, I'll never have to suffer for anything, he'll answer all my prayers in the time zone that I want them to have them answered, that's the God that I'm serving. Got news for you, don't work that way. But when you abide in that secret place of the Most High, we're going to talk more about that, you'll rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we're going to go on to the next verse. It says, and he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, verse 91, Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. Two things there, but I want to deal with the fowler. If you know anything about birds, and I know very little, but I will tell you this much. Birds are basically, their nature is flying above the situation. That's what birds do. Birds fly. They kind of soar in the air and this other type of thing. But the Bible says he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Do you know how a fowler or a person who wants to capture a bird does? He will make something attractive out of the air to have to come down to the ground to get it. Do you know how the hunters basically, if it's beyond the range of their rifle, they'll find something that will attract the attention of the fowl to come down out of their stratosphere or atmosphere to a place, and that's the snare of the fowler. How many times have you got in trouble when you got your eye, you belong up here, but you're living down here? You found something that attracted you out of the place where God designed for you to be, and you come down, and guess what? The fowler catches you. Because you're not in your assigned, designated place that God has for you. God has made it all together for us, but we sometimes get our attraction away from where God has designed for us to live. To the snare of the fowler. Look at this. The Lord will bring you out of the trap of the enemy. The things that kind of attract your attention. He'll show you the falsity or the lack of, or shall I say, consistency of that the enemy is trying to attract you to. He'll reveal to you what's really going on. Again, with that, he'll go with another step. The fowler will bring his prey down so he can destroy them. Moses knew it was God who was constantly protecting him and his people from the things he did not even see. Ever found out later that God protected you from something and you just, really? God's protection is amazing. If you had gone this way and the Holy Spirit and you listened to the Holy Spirit and said, go that way. If you had gone this way, you said, if I had done that, it would have been total destruction. Because the Lord has delivered you from the snare of the fowler when you abide in that secret place of the Most High of finding time to spend with God. So what does this mean? Well, let's launch into this experience. I want to tell you a little bit more about Moses and he experienced supernatural protection from the perilous plagues of Egypt. Now, if you're somewhat of a biblical scholar, you know, just somewhat. There were 10 plagues that they suffered. Don't have time to go into all of them, so I don't think we'll go into it, but there were 10 contagious or pestilences attacks against against Pharaoh and all the people that was trying to convince him, you know, and the word was from the Lord was, let my people go so they can serve me. And Pharaoh lied his face off. Oh, yes, he did. As soon as going through a couple, I only mentioned a couple of them, but here's what it works like. None of the plagues affected him or those that were with him. Ever have yourself, God deliver you from something and everybody else went through it, but you didn't have to go through it? Hello? That's God's deliverance. He'll deliver you from things that other people have to go through because you know why? Because his anointing or his presence is upon your life. Because you're dwelling in that secret place that God has made for you. Well, it goes a little bit more than that. Plagues will come upon us from the things that we allow to get close to us. I found the worst decisions of my life. It's when I refused to listen to the Holy Spirit when he told me, don't get involved with that. I know you've never done that, but I have. And a lot of the plagues that have come upon or sidetracks that have come upon my life is when I did not obey what God had told me. He says, stay away from that. That's not good for you. Oh, I'll be perfectly fine. It'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And you married him. I won't go that far. You dated him. But he was bubonic plague on legs, two legs. And it took quite a few things for you to discover that God has been delivering you from. The secret place is for those who belong to God, who will protect you from the things that those who do not know him will not be able to survive. Wow. Isn't it amazing how those who have found that secret place with Jesus, there's some things that people get trapped in, and I'll show you your response in just a moment, but the Lord protects you from. Well, the secret place of the believer has boundaries set up by God that the enemy cannot take down. Did you hear what I said? The enemy cannot take those things down. In the same way that God protected the children of Israel, he'll protect you. Now, I just want to mention a couple of the plagues. There was a plague of blood that entered the land that every place there was, all the water that was in Egypt turned to blood. Wow, that's a problem. Except in the camp of Israel. Whoa. That's how much God can protect you. The second one is, I think it was the second one. It was. The second one was frogs. The next plague that they suffered there, I'm going to go through a couple of them. There's flies, and I don't want to deal with the flies. So I'll go with frogs. So there's a plague of frogs. Frogs are ugly. Anybody tells me, oh, I have a pet frog? God bless you. I remember back in our biology class, you had to dissect frogs. I won't touch them. I said, I'll take a C in the class. If somebody else will cut this thing open and do what they're going to do with it? Because homie don't touch frogs. You know, I don't do frogs. Anyway, so the frogs are coming in, and the frogs are everywhere. They're in the meal barrel. They're in the house. They're in the oven. They're everywhere. And so, of course, you know, Pharaoh lies his face off. Okay, I'll let your people go. But here's an interesting thing. And so Moses asked Pharaoh a question. So when would you like for me to get rid of the frogs? He says, tomorrow. But you know, that is kind of indicative of some of us believers. God gives us the power to be delivered of things today, and we put it off till tomorrow. He wants to spend one more night with them frogs. See, some of you, that's how you really, oh yeah, God, just deliver me from this. But one more time and then I'm done. Well, I'm going to leave that alone because somebody else is going to digest that in a moment. Secret place of the believer has boundaries that God wants to really allow us to really deal with. We must remember to thank God for his protection of our secret place. How many of you thank God for protection right now? Put your hands down. How many of you, and do not lift your hand on this, I don't want people to know how unspiritual you are, but how many of you have felt at various times that you've been vulnerable and God didn't protect you? Just hold on, don't do anything, because there's something I want to tell you about. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to just to think about three things I'm going to mention. It will involve you being grateful for three things. Number one thing is, you need to thank God for the things of what could have happened. Amen. I want you to stop for just for like 10 seconds and say, oh, that's right. It could have happened, but God prevented it from happening. You need to thank God right now. It could have happened, but it didn't. Amen. Just take 10 seconds. The next one is, this is even worse. It should have happened, but God warded it off. Amen. And he said, oh, not so. This is not going to happen. Amen. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's because you're being irresponsible. It's because you're being ungrateful. It's because you're being greedy. It's because your eyes were off of Jesus. And it should have happened, but it didn't. Amen. Oh, but there's a last one. It almost happened. But right in the nick of time, the Lord came and snatched you out of it. Amen. Oh, I know that resonates with somebody right now. Come on, give him some praise in the house. Here's the part that in Psalm 91 verse 4 says this. 91 verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I want to talk to you for a few moments about the presence of God. And the presence of God is not isolated to this room where we're having a praise service. It's not isolated to a prayer meeting you're having with a few friends at your house or at some appointed place. But I want to talk to you about the covering of God when he covers you under his wings, where you feel his presence, and you might be in the middle of an office full of people, but all of a sudden you just realize the presence of God is with me no matter where I am. You feel the absolute presence of God. I need to dismiss you from the idea that you have to be just kind of on your knees, on your face type thing, and I'm not belittling those things. But you know what? That he will cover you with his wings no matter where you are. You could be riding in your car, you could be on the freeway, and you feel the presence of God in your life. And that all of a sudden, that place that is your automobile has become that secret place where God is meeting with you, and he's taking care of all the things going on in your life. This is a place, this is an atmosphere that God wants to introduce us to, because we are so, you know, and I have a tendency to just, I want everything in this little assigned box. But it just doesn't operate that way. The Lord will warm you with his presence. Before you leave this auditorium today, I am trusting that God is going to do that very thing. And it doesn't have to be for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, but it's just a fact for you to just relax and say, you know what? Lord, I believe not only that you're with me, but I can feel the warmth of your presence because I feel covered by you and I'm protected from the enemy. So what does that mean? It means a couple of things. You will sense his closeness even when everything around you is falling apart. That means that even though there's financial challenges, even though there's physical challenges, even though there's some things that are facing you on Monday or Wednesday of next week, you can feel the presence of God, and he puts you in that particular place where you don't have to worry about that. The presence of God surrounds you, and he's got you in that secret place. It's not that you're avoiding, it's not that you're ignoring, but it's the fact that God does not wait till everything is perfect in your life. He says, oh, you can feel my presence now, everything's okay. Oh, no, 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 no. When everything around you is chaotic, he takes you to that place and says, you know what? All those things that are surrounding you, even though if an enemy encamps around you, the Holy Spirit of God will put you in that place where he'll cover you. And you can feel his presence. That's not denial. That's not shifting. But it's rather what God offers to you. Now, let me get real practical with this. I'm going to speak prophetically to some people that are in this room today. You don't have to acknowledge it. You don't need to acknowledge it. But some of you are in a financial situation that has you worried as if you're about to lose everything. You're expecting various things to come through. They haven't come through. You're just this far away. You've been talking to different folks, and you don't really know what to do. And you've left yourself to this place of vulnerability. He said, I can't seek the presence of God. And you know, God can't cover me in this because I got to take care of this. And the Lord says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to put that in its rightful place, but I'm going to cover you that you don't have to be absent of my presence. I will cover you with my feathers, that those things will not surround you to the place where you lose your confidence in me. Oh, but here's another place. And I know of several people in this room, but I don't say it dismissively. But the doctors have said some things that are pretty, pretty crucial. And you've got more focus on what the doctor said than what Jesus said. Amen. And I want to tell you today that God's going to make a difference. We need to make a shift. Well, I'm going to make it to verse 7. It says, the truth of the word will guard our hearts from the lies of the devil. Psalm 91, verse 7. Here we go. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall come not near you. I want you to say this, but it shall not, say that, come near me. And that's the truth. You say, well, wait a minute, this is gonna come near, yeah, well, you're the you, you're the me in the you. See, sometimes you put the you, it shall come not near you. Well, that's not the you of me. Yes, it is. The you is me. And God wants to put you in that present moment. Look at this. This is great. Our secret place will keep us secure when the witness of multitudes of people who are experiencing great loss. And oftentimes when people start talking about, oh, this happened, that happened, all these negative things happened, then all of a sudden we throw our hat in the ring of, yeah, this probably going to happen to me too. Really? Or would it be that God will shield you from that? Look at this. Isaiah 59:19. I'm going to teach you how to read this scripture. Okay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord, peace to us from his glory, from the rising sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I want to move the comma. Watch me do it. When the enemy comes in, comma. Then read the next part. It says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Which interpretation do you like the best? I like mine. It's a comma. You say, oh, you're just messing with Scripture. No, I'm not. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Then when the enemy comes in, God doesn't say, well, I just got to wait till he's done. Oh, no. When he comes in, the Holy Spirit will lift up, like a flood, will lift up a standard against him. You don't have to wait for the enemy to destroy your household. When he comes in, say, oh, no, this is not going to happen. By the blood of Jesus, I take the authority according to the word of God. This is not going to happen in my house. It's not going to happen in my life. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go the direction God's taken. Wow. We need to learn to raise that standard. Well, let me give you these last few things. First of all, it's not when, it's if. If the enemy comes in, God is totally present to help you. He'll do it. We will witness the judgment of the Lord, and we need not be a part of the things that are going on. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to intercede for those who are caught in the deception of the devil. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes, you know, people get caught in deceitful practices of the enemy? He goes like this. He says, a thousand fall at the right hand, 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. Now, I'm going to tell you how, or at least try to share with you, what your response should be toward people who are going through tough times, even when they're wicked. Do not laugh, do not make fun of wicked people who are going through hard times. Did you hear what I said? Oh, they deserve that. They're so evil people, and they're doing all these terrible things. God should just take them off the earth. They just defile. Do you know you were one of them? Amen. And all of a sudden, you found the light of Jesus, and you want everybody to go to hell in a handbasket because you found Jesus, and you're just not like them, and you're so proud. And stop that. But think about it this way, that God desires for us. When it says, no evil shall overtake you, we'll get to this last scripture. No evil shall overtake you. But we will learn how to bless those who have cursed us that are in bad circumstances. I'm preparing to close things down for today, but I want to take this last scripture. Psalms 91, verses 9 through 11, and we'll finish this up next week. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I want to stop here for a moment. Worship team, you can come back up here. And this is what I want us to do. I've got a whole list of things of how to find the secret place. I'm not going to get to those today because I need to stop here and just build a case toward the idea of God's going to dispatch some angels to take care of your situation. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just remain seated for a moment because the Holy Spirit's going to be ushering himself up and down the aisles, and he's going to sit next to some of you, and he's going to say some words in your ear saying, you know what? It's time for you to find that place that you've always needed and always been looking for, where you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I picked a song for closing, and I believe the Holy Spirit put it in my heart for us. To realize the presence of the Lord, that regardless of what you are going through, he is here. My friend Matt, we knew him as Matt Casey. His real name is Matt Langston, Matthew Langston. And he wrote this song, and this song is going to be healing. It's going to be revelational. It's going to be one of those things that will help you transition from the place where you are now to the place where you can find that secret place with God. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then we're going to look at the lyrics of this song, and then we're going to really begin to sing this song as a testimony of God's faithfulness to us. Lord, today there are people in this room. Not only do they need to find the secret place of the Most High and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, but they have to rest in the fact that you have never, ever, ever left them alone. Lord, there are people here in this room that right now they're on the throes of giving up because things look so dark. And Lord, somehow they need to find that place, that secret place where you can tabernacle with them. As more than you telling me it's going to be okay. It's going to be the fact of they'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Lord, I ask for the covering of your wings that'll protect him from the enemy. This is the way we're going to end this service today. As we sing this song, the Holy Spirit is going to make you aware of something that you need Jesus to do. Some of you, it may be salvation. Some of you, it may be restoring your relationship with Jesus. And some of you, you just need to be covered with the fact of knowing that you can go to the secret place without feeling guilty because of what you've done. When we stand to our feet, when we do stand to our feet, I do not want you to allow yourself to stay in that one place where you are. And you may call it a safe place. It's not. God's saying you need to come forth to acknowledge the fact that I have a place for you, and I want you to enjoy the benefits of living under the shadow of my covering. Now, if you hear me clearly of what I've said, when the Holy Spirit touches you and says, you need to walk forward and just respond, there'll be people to pray with you. And even if there's no one to pray with you, it doesn't really matter. But your acknowledgement of what the Lord is doing is gives you access to a place that nobody else can get into. It's just you and Jesus, and he'll minister to the needs of your heart. Lord, we have so much to learn about what it means to abide in that secret place. And Lord, I pray this installment today would just allow us to even go through some of the steps that we'll talk about in our little Bible study. But Lord, as we finish this whole thought process, I pray that you would show us your faithfulness. Show us your love. Show us your power. Show us your anointing in the days ahead of how we can really allow ourselves to be focused upon the things that you do. Lord, silence the voice of the enemy that comes against us and says it's not going to happen. Silence the voice of the enemy that says to us that you're not going to come through. And Lord, just allow your Holy Spirit just to surround us with love and mercy and power and wisdom and authority in the name of Jesus. And we do all these things because of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.